And yet in the midst and in the throes of this, there comes a Macedonian call to go out of Asia Minor into Europe, to a totally new country, new area, and pioneer and introduce the gospel over again.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and that message we will bring to you in a few moments here in the program as we go through our Bible reading. Then we have a short hymn and into the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. I trust the Lord will speak to your heart, draw you to Himself, and give you grace in your soul as we lift up our hearts to the Lord. Our Bible reading is Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 today. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, I would remind you. They are not the words of some radical revivalist preacher. They are the words of the Son of God. And He gives this very, very stern warning. The key statement of this passage is, because they repented not. These were tough, tough words from the Son of God to the people in the city which was His adopted home area, the city of Capernaum. Capernaum became the hub of the Lord's Galilean ministry. There His many, many miracles were performed. These miracles were not for mere performance, but to demonstrate that He was the Son of God and that sin was to be put away. But astonishingly, people crooned over the miracles while they cringed over the message. They doted over a miracle worker in their midst, but they detested any thought of giving up sin. The hardcore issue that the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida, neighboring cities to Capernaum, were more in love with their sin than they were interested in a Savior. This is hardly something new. It is the gospel preacher's battle all the time to win men to Christ by weaning them off their sins. In fact, if deliverance from sin is no importance to people, neither will the salvation of the Lord. A man must see his sin before he can possibly appreciate the Lord as his Savior. Have we not all driven by hospitals and health clinics without a thought for the work that goes on inside? Because we were healthy. But when you are injured or struck with pain, then the hospital services become of great importance to you. And it was because the people repented not that they came under the reproach of the Lord. He did not let them off easy. Because they had witnessed so much of the Lord's ministry and miracles, they were laden with guilt for not repenting. The Lord went on to talk about the worst places known to the Jews. Tyre and Sidon were like hell holes to them. They had been visited in judgment in the past and re-established as a cesspool of immorality. The Lord went at times into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, but not into them, for the Jews would have taken it so heinously that he may have been further reproached. But the Lord says that those people, so unspeakably wicked as they were, would have repented if they had the privileges which they enjoyed. The further example that he gave was of Sodom, that place notorious for God's wrath and judgment on its perverted sin. Those people too would have repented if they had had the demonstrations of the gospel which the people of Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida had enjoyed. But they repented not. My friend, don't let this be your doom, that you repented not and perished. Don't let this be written on your tombstone, but he repented not. Don't let this be your death knell in hell, but he repented not. How intolerable it will be for souls who have heard the good news of the gospel, but have rejected the Savior. It will be eternal misery, ruin, and God's wrath upon them. Don't be a fool today, but repent. Give up your sin. See it as the very thing that's destroying your soul, and run to the Savior who has come to save you and bring you the power of the blood that washes you from sin. I pray today the Lord may apply that blood to your heart and give you his wonderful salvation. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we thank thee today for this very terse warning of our Lord Jesus to everyone who will not repent. These cities that enjoyed so vast an array of miracles and preaching on your earthly ministry, yet, Lord, their stubbornness and opposition to the message, Lord, you warned them that wrath would come. O God, we take heed today that there is wrath for sinners who will not repent. And we pray that thou wilt give grace to thy people. Lord, grant that thou wilt give repentance to those that are yet in their sin. And we pray that there may be a turning to the Lord, a seeking after God, and that thou wilt cause men to flee from the wrath to come, and to flee to the wounds of the Lord Jesus, the cleansing, precious blood that saves and keeps to the uttermost. O God, be pleased to bless thy word, we pray. Hear and answer prayer. Be with us through this program today. Bless every hearer. Bless the lonely, the needy. Grant, Lord, you'll draw nigh to your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We're on the air each day to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and I trust that this will be of help to you in your spiritual life and your spiritual walk as you seek to serve the Lord in your capacity, your field, your open doors. And today we're looking at Paul the Apostle going through an open door, a door that he did not expect, a door where he would not have gone by nature, but he was compelled as he saw a man in a dream from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And that led him into Europe. And I trust that the Lord will indeed guide each and every one of us these days into a field of service for him. We need to pray for that open door. We need to pray for the opportunity to witness for him, to preach the gospel, to tell of the Lord Jesus, and to be busy for him. And I trust again that you will join with us here today and stay with us on this program. If we can be of any further help, remember the website, cloverdalefpc.ca. And there you have email, the archived sermons, webcast Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and further information of our broadcast. Now for the program, for the message, the Macedonian call.
And yet Paul said, "I want you to leave all that aside. I want you to stop all of that and come in this new direction." So you will be a visionary if you would obey the call of God. If you would be the one who would answer a Macedonian call in our time. Now, what would be the Macedonian call of our time? Well, there's Liberia that we've talked about. There is, in a real sense, a call from that land to our church. Come over and help us. Bring not just things, but bring the gospel. Bring us teachers and preachers, or give us training that we may preach. So there is there a call to help. Over in Nova Scotia, there is a group of people who are very keen to have a free Presbyterian church, and there is a call for help from there. There is this yearning that they might be a part of the witness and testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There are needs all around us. Indeed, what gospel church, what evangelical gospel church would not take on board an active helper to work for God? I don't think there would be any. And you'll certainly not be set aside with nothing to do if you would be one who would answer such a Macedonian call. We learned last week about Robert Moffat and David Livingstone. David Livingstone, when he was a young man, teenager really, he was working in a mill. And he was looking after these weaving machines in the dust and grind from early morning to night. And while he was working at the mill, he had his textbooks, learning the Bible and doctrine, and also learning medicine. He was convinced that before he would go to the mission field, that he needed to have the very basics of medicine, and he excelled in medicine. And he did it under very difficult circumstances. He burned the midnight oil, sitting up with candlelight, reading the medical textbooks. There was a passion in him to prepare for the work to which he believed God was calling him. And so you will be a visionary. The second one is that you will be answerable to the Lord's call. Now, Paul and Silas, as we've learned, were doing very well in Asia Minor. They've had tough times. There were some oppositions. They were put out of cities. They were banned from cities at times. But this was the persecution that went with the preaching of the gospel. But as we learned in verse 5, these churches were established and they were increasing in number daily. There were additions to the church. The logistics of travel in Asia Minor, the distances were manageable. certainly not easy, very hilly country. And with all that was before them, they felt it necessary to continue in Asia Minor. Verse 7, as I say, shows that they had a burden to go to Bithynia. Now, Bithynia is in the northern part of Asia Minor, a part that as yet they had not yet gone to. There were no cities there that they had yet preached in. And you'll notice also that in verse 7 it says, they assayed. That means that they were making real endeavors and attempts to do so. And then you'll notice also that they definitely had unity on the matter. A number of brethren together. Who were they? They were Paul and Silas. Then there was Timothy that was now coming alongside. And then there was Luke. He's the author of this very gospel. And you'll notice that he uses the word us in this passage. He includes himself as one involved in ministry that may have been in the area of Bithynia. Now, usually, we take it that if a number of men who have the Spirit of God are men of prayer and men of the Word, that if they're in agreement on something, they take it as the will of the Lord. But the Lord said no. And this Macedonian call changed everything. Changed their focus, changed their direction, changed all of their plans. But they were submitted and surrendered absolutely to the call of God. All their plans, all their ambitions, which no one could find fault with, the gospel was being preached, and it was needed in Bithynia as anywhere else. But God is sovereign, and God raises up laborers, and God sends his laborers, and his harvest work will be done God's way. And so the plan for missioning Asia Minor and Bithynia was turned to Europe. Now note the comment in verse 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And this is very significant. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. There was no doubt about it. And you'll know the us there. And it wasn't just Paul. And while they were all agreed prior to this that they should go to Bithynia, they were now also all agreed that they should go to Macedonia. There wasn't a doubting man amongst them. Whether it was Paul or Silas or Timothy or Luke who was writing this record, and he includes himself in the word us in this verse 10. They were absolutely certain after this vision that this was now the will of God. And so they were surrendered and answerable to the call of God. They set aside their own ambitions to the call of God. We sing that hymn, "Where He leads me, I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so." Can you say that tonight? That you're answerable to the call of God. William Carey, when he wanted to be a missionary to India, had to fight the mission boards and fight the Baptist church. They didn't want to send him. They thought his idea was a pipe dream. And it took many months and even years before he proved that God had called him. And of course, his whole ministry there did in time prove that he was called of God to India. He had to obey God rather than men. We say this is strange how God works, but God's call is greater than man's call. One of our ministers, over 30 years ago, was convinced that he was called to Spain, to go there in some kind of Christian work. And prepared and went there and set up home, he and his wife. But after a period of time, later became convinced, no, I'm wrong. This is not the place for me. And he returned back to Northern Ireland And 30-odd years later, he's the pastor of a very successful long-term pastoral ministry. Can you explain it? How was he so sure that he should go to Spain and be wrong and return and God bless his ministry? Because God is sovereign. And if we were sitting at the back seat of the car and Paul was saying, look, stop the car, we're not going to Bithynia. We're going down to Troas to catch a ship to go over to Macedonia. We'd say, Paul's lost it. He hasn't got a marble left. He's away with it. But obviously, the vision that God gave him, he was a man, and the others too, were answerable to the call of God. Then you'll see in verse 10 that you will be set to go with a ready obedience. I love the next word. It says, after he had seen the vision, notice the next word now. What is it in your Bible? If your Bible is the same as mine, it can only be one word. Immediately. Immediately. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, well, you know, it's just not suitable right now. I'm not ready. This is most inconvenient. No, he didn't make any excuses. Once the call of God came, he was set with a ready obedience. And it says, immediately we endeavored to go. And the word endeavored doesn't say, well, I made a phone call, but I didn't get through. No, he was determined to go. And once the call of God was clear, then he set himself with all his heart to go. You'll find also in verse 11 that when he was going to Macedonia and going to the chief headquarters or the chief city of Macedonia of that part, the city of Philippi, you'll notice that he made a direct course by ship. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course. He didn't say, well, let's go for a little holiday now. This area of Samothrace is a little island right in the Mediterranean. Most probably a very beautiful place. Some historians say at this time it was a place for runaway slaves and exiles that were fleeing from Rome or the Roman Empire. Well, Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to stay here and rest up a bit. It tells us the next day he stayed one night only at that island. And the next day he was on his way to Neapolis, which was just a stone throw from the city of Philippi. He took the most direct route to do the work of God. What does that tell you about this man? What does that tell you about these men who were setting out to serve God? They had a ready obedience which they put into action. Do we have that spirit? Or are we procrastinators? Or are we trying to circumvent the hard slog of serving the Lord? This is what is required if we would serve the Lord, a ready obedience, knowing the mind of God, to get on with it and do it as efficiently and as speedily as possible that we might get the gospel out. Then fourthly, you will not be deterred by the cost. Macedonia, as we have said, is the Greek world. It's Europe. It's across the Aegean Sea. It's toward Greece. It is undoubtedly at that time the biggest challenge anyone faced to go into the heart of the Greek cultural centers and introduce Christianity. The further you get away from Jerusalem, the further you get away from the heart of Judea into the pagan domain, the greater opposition is certain to be discovered. And I don't think that Paul was a fool to think that it was going to be easier going over the Aegean Sea and to preach over in Macedonia than in Asia Minor. I don't think that for a moment. He knew it was going to cost. He knew it was going to be mighty difficult. And when you read through Acts 16, you'll find great opposition. This is where he ends up in jail. This is where he faces the powers of darkness, this young damsel who was a soothsayer, who was a slave to demons and the powers of darkness. And Paul faces all of this as he goes into the city of Philippi to preach. He faced great opposition and great difficulty.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.